Glory to God. Well, we've been talking on the favor of God. Anybody been experiencing the favor of God? Come on. Hallelujah. And if you haven't been, you can. That's the good news about it, right? If you haven't been, you can. And I'm going to show you how to do that today. So let's just get right into it. Today, I want to talk to you about the ifs and thens of favor. That's kind of an interesting title, isn't it? The if and then of favor. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know the love of God is unconditional? God loves us no matter what we've done. He loves us. But how many know the blessings of God, the things that God has for us, is contingent upon how we respond to that unconditional love? Right? I mean, so Jesus did what we couldn't do in dying on the cross so that we could be saved, because there was nothing. How many know that there's a big zero? There is nothing we could have done to get to God, right? Amen, right? But Jesus did what we could not do in dying on the cross, shedding the only pure blood on the planet, his own, right? So that we could come back and be back, bring us back into relationship and be returned back to God, right? But then he put all these amazing promises in the Bible that are contingent upon how we respond to his unconditional love, how we respond to the work that Jesus did at the cross. Amen. And so, I want to talk to you about the if and then of favor. Hallelujah. Can I just stop just a moment? There was something I wanted to do, kind of like a shout out. Then we'll get right back into this. Completely forgot about it. Last night, me and Heather drove up to Salem and went to, they call it the International Championship of Collegiate Acapella. My son is in the Blue Light Acapella Men's Group from LBCC, and they were performing. And so we went up there, and, you know, we listened to other groups, too, and listened to his group. And I was like, man, this is some quality groups that are up here, man. And then when they sang, I'm like, oh, dang, they are good. I mean, better than I heard them the last time. And I'm like, man, this is really good. Well, I found out this morning, he got home real late after I'd went to bed, but he told me this morning that they placed third in that competition. That is awesome. How many groups were there? There were eight groups, and they were quality groups, and they placed third out of eight groups that were there. They fell one spot short. They were only the first two advanced to the next stage or level of the competition, right? But they were just one short of that. But you know what? The groups that I heard, I mean, the first few groups were just a couple of them at least were like really, really good. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys are good. And then I heard Elijah's group, and they were like phenomenal. I was like, whoa, they were really good. And I texted him. I said, dude, you guys did awesome tonight. And anyway, so I just wanted to give him a shout out. And not only him, but Blue Light, man, those guys are good. And I feel like I planted some seed into that. There was a time when you know, the college was closed during Christmas break. They didn't have nowhere to meet. So I let them use this facility. So I feel like I had a part in helping them to accomplish that goal. And so some little bit of love. But I just wanted to give a shout out to Elijah and the Blue Light Group, man. Those guys did really, really awesome. And so congratulations to you guys. That was, pass it on for me. Thank you. All right. The if and then of favor, man. I tell you what, the favor of God is awesome. Last week we talked about what some of the things one of the devil. I'm not going to go back into all of it. You can go listen to it online, whatever. But last week we talked about some of the definition of what the favor of God is, that it gives you an advantage, right? And we said that word advantage is something that God provides that the rest of the world has no access to. It's something that we have in our life if we receive it, right? It's something we have in our life that nobody else even knows about. They're looking at, man, how can that possibly be happening for you? I know your situation. Your situation ain't no better than my situation. How can that be happening for you? And you know what you should say at that moment? It's the favor of God. Should I actually say that to them? Yes, you should actually say that to them. It is the favor of God. Because why? Because they're going to want to know, how can I get some of that? I mean, I know your situation. I know what it's been like. You've told me about the doctor's reports. You've told me about your financial situations. You've told me about your family situations. You've told me about this. And you keep telling me. Now you're always telling me about how, you know, God's doing this and this is happening. The favor of God, the favor of God. Well, how can I get the favor of God? Boom, open door. Right? Did you know God, he puts his favor on us, not just so we can be favored, but he puts his favor on us so his as his favor is demonstrated in our life, it makes the world want to know what we got. The Bible says we should always be in a situation where we are ready to give an explanation for the hope that we have in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's talk about the if and then a favor. And you'll know what I mean by the if and then as we get into the scriptures. Go with me to Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. Oh, I'm excited about this. Come on, it's going to be good. Oh, it's going to be a lot better than what you just said. Come on, I said it's going to be good. Come on, the Word of God is awesome. So that's one thing I really want to challenge us this year to get back to is the wonderful part of God. I think the world has kind of dumbed the church down a little bit to where we're kind of almost numb to the wonder of God. We need to get back to the fact that God is awesome. God is to be honored and revered and respected. He is God. He is the creator of all that there is. He is creator of everything that is good. The Bible says in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift comes down from God. So if there's any good, any goodness, any completeness in your life, it came down from God. No, that goodness didn't come from your employer. That goodness didn't come from your wife. It didn't come from this. It didn't come from that. And it didn't come from the lottery. It came. If it's good, it came from God. Amen. See, we need to get back to the wonder, to where we actually, that will create an excitement about coming to church. When people see that, come on, if people see that you're excited about going to church, but when you go up to them and say, hey, my life sucks. I'm going to church on Sunday. You want to come with me? I'd be like, oh, sign me up. Right? No, people ain't going to be nothing. They'll be like, no, you look like you got the plague. I'll keep my distance back here, you know. Come on, no. But when people see that you're excited about the wonder of God, you're excited to come to church because you're about to encounter Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. And how many know that has a large part of that has to do with your attitude towards it? Right? And we're going to get into the if and then a favor. Amen. All right. So Job chapter 22 in verse 28, it simply says this. It says, you will succeed. I'm going to read a couple of translations to help you get a good grasp of this. But it says, you will succeed in whatever you choose to do. And light will shine on the road ahead of you. But I want to read that in the New King James now, because it says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your way. So it says a couple of different things. One says you're going to be successful in whatever you choose to do. Right? Another one says, you shall declare a thing, and it shall. And so I looked it up. It's like, is it choose? Is it declare? So I looked it up, and it's choose and declare. How many know before you declare something, you got to do what? You got to choose to do it. So it's actually both, right? Let's go ahead and read the rest of it. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so, but here's the deal. It's not just whatever you choose to do. Right? Let's go back up to verse 21 and read down to that verse and see. Let's get the history of this. Let's get the goody-goody, right? Let's get the if and then a favor. The if and then. See, favor is not bestowed upon everybody. It's bestowed upon those that if you, then I. Right? Let's look at this. Verse 21. It says this. Let's start off with this word, submit. Submit. Well, before we go any further, let me define what submit means. Sub submit. You ever heard of a submarine? Marine being water. A sub is something that goes under, right? So a submit would mean the sub being under, mit someone else's mission. When it says submit to God, and this is the first step to getting the favor of God on your life. See, I'll kind of sneaky on you. I spent the last 2 weeks telling you are the apple of God's eye, right? I told you last week that you are the object of God's affection, and those things are so true. But now I'm telling you how to get the favor of God on your life. He loves you. He wants the very best for you. He wants to bestow his favor on you in unbelievable almost amounts of favor on your life. But there is an access. It's just like if I put $1 million into an account and says, you know what? I put $1 million in that account for you. Anytime you need something, you can just go in and get that. But what are you going to tell me? You're going to go, what's the account number? Is there a card? Is there an access code? I'm giving you the access code into the favor of God. Because how many know all that $1 million would do you no good if you can never access it? Right? But I'm giving you the access code into the favor of God. I've told you how good the favor of God is. I've told you that he loves you and he wants to pour his favor on you. Now today I'm showing you how to access the favor of God. I'm showing you how to access that thing that God puts on our, that wants God desires to put on our life that gives us an advantage over the rest of the world. It puts you in a position where people are like, that ain't fair. How did you even get that? It's the favor of God. What did it say? You shall decree a thing, and it will be established for you. We're going to look at those things in just a little bit. But it says here, he says, so submit. That means under, putting yourself under someone else's mission. So it says, and then it tells you whose mission you're supposed to get up under God's mission. Did you know that God has a mission for every person in this room? Where we get in trouble and where we end up in strife and contention and frustration and anxiety and stress and worry and all this kind of crazy stuff that we have to experience sometimes, right? Is because we step out from under, get away from his mission, and we say, okay, God, I'm going to try my own mission. I'm going to go out here on my own mission. You know, that's how people get killed in war. They don't stay up under the mission of the commander. They don't stay up under the mission of their platoon. They get out, I'm going to do something crazy, and I'm going to go over here. And they ended up, they're all by themselves. They have their buddies are not there to protect them. They're out doing their own little renegade thing. Come on, Jesus don't need no renegades. Right? He don't need you going off trying to do your own thing. He said, I got a mission for you. I've told you in Ephesians 2:10, it says, there is a journey of blessing upon, I have predestined. I've gone before you were even born. I've already stepped out and created an amazing journey for you, an amazing plan for you. And oh, by the way, I have loaded it with blessings all along the way. If you were to stay on my journey, you're going to be like, I kind of think of like a pinball machine. Does any of you remember what a pinball machine is? Some of the younger generation, it's on the screen, but no, for us, we're hitting the flippers, baby. Remember that? Ball wasn't going where we want. You grab the side of the machine, you right, get that ball where you want it to go. But that's kind of what I think about when I read Ephesians 2:10, because then it makes me feel like I'm just like that little pinball in God. And as long as I'm in God's journey, then I'm hitting this blessing and it's bouncing me over. Remember those little bumpers? Man, you'd hit them and they'd boom, and they'd shoot the ball. It wasn't like a steel bumper. You hit it and it shocks you. That's what I think about God and his goodness and his blessing and his favor. I hit this blessing, boom, it bounces me over to this blessing. Then it bounces me over to this blessing. Come on, that's the favor of God. Amen. Amen. I told you, we're going to encounter Jesus this year. We're going to encounter the favor of God. We're going to encounter the blessings of God. There is a blessing that God has bestowed upon his people, but we've got to learn how to access it. Come on, stay with me today. Learn how to access this favor, because you'll never, ever regret it. But you could regret it if you miss this. Come on, the favor of God. He says, submit. Wow, man, what's this going to do? I'm only on the first word. Oh, Jesus, this might be a series, just this little short passage here. Come on. He says, submit. Put yourself under God's mission. Submit to God and you will have peace. Then things will, listen, go well with you. How many want things going well with you? How many want peace? You can't have that without the first part. Come on, submit to God. Submit to His plan for your life. Quit trying to make your own way. Come on, submit to God's way. Right? In everything, in your job, in your relationships, in whatever you go to do, in starting a business, in working for a business, whatever you go to do, do it God's way. So I don't know what God's way is. It's in the book. It's right here. Everybody has access to this. Well, I don't have a Bible. You have internet. Do you have a cell phone? Come on. We are beyond the age of excuses. Right? What does it mean if you can get to the Word of God some way, fashion, or form? You have no more excuses. Come on. Let's receive all that God has for us, but we've got to do it God's way. Right? Remember what he said in Isaiah. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. He wasn't saying that going, nah, 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 nah. He was going, come on, I've got a better way. I've got a higher way. I've got a much better way for you. Come on, follow me. Follow me. That's why we're called Christ followers. But too many of us try to get outside of Christ. And that's where we get into trouble. Me and a virgin was talking before service and was talking about, you know, the whole, that scripture where it says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But then people get frustrated when they ask God to do something and something don't happen immediately. But he says, you will recover. And I started thinking about that word as I was talking to her. I said, that's because you got uncovered. See, when you step out of God's plan for your life, you are now uncovered. You're out from under the umbrella. So now all the elements have full access to you. All the work of the enemy is trying to come against you. All you got to do is say, God, forgive me for stepping out on my own. I'm going to step back up under your protection. I'm going to step back into your love. I'm going to step back into Christ. When we realize who we are in Christ and we stay in Christ, what did the Bible tell us in John 15? He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will of the Father, and He will give it to you. Come on, the if and then of the favor of God. All right, let's keep going. It says, submit to God, and you will have peace. Then things will go well with you. Then things. There's a then. There's one of the thens of favor. Then things will go with you. After what? Submitting to God. Right? Verse 22, listen to His instructions and store them in your heart. Come on, that sounds like Proverbs 4, doesn't it? My son, incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Hallelujah. You're messing with me. Okay. All right. My son, incline your ear into my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That sounds like this scripture here, doesn't it? He says, listen to His instructions and store them in your heart. If, there's one of the ifs, if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If, right? If. See, the world's got this mentality, and even the religions of the world, or the religiosity, the religiousness of this world, even, well, you know, God's just in control of everything. No, He is not. I don't know what book people read to get that idea. God is not in control. Listen, if every good and perfect gift comes down from God, and God was in control of everything, there would be no evil in the world. Right? He says, I set before you life, and I set before you death. I set before you blessing, and I set before you cursing. Now, you choose which way you will go. Right? So we've got to choose God's way. If you want life to go well with you, he says right here, submit to God. You will have peace. Then things will go well with you. Verse 23, if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. Oh my goodness, I gotta. Okay, so clean up your life, it says. So clean up your life. Come on, if you see things in your life, you know it's not lining up with the Word. Come on, clean it up. Allow the, ask the Holy Spirit, show me, teach me, help me to get this stuff out of my life. I want to get rid of this stuff, this resentment. I want to get rid of this unforgiveness. I want to get rid of this bitterness. I want to get rid of this anger. I want to get rid of this hatefulness. I want to get rid of this unselfishness. I want to get rid of this laziness. I want to get rid of whatever it is that seems to be holding you back. Say, God, I want to clean up my life. I want to clean up my life. Verse 24, here comes another one. If you give up your lust for money and throw your precious gold into the river. Don't check out on me right there. We're going to cover that in just a little bit. God's not telling you to be poor and throw all your money away. We'll cover it in just a little bit. Hang tight with me. All right. If you give up your lust for money and throw your precious gold into the silver, the Almighty Himself will be your treasure. He will be your precious silver. Then, here comes the then of favor. Then, remember, there's some ifs. And then he says, then you will take delight in the Almighty and look up to God. You will pray to Him and He will hear you. And you will fulfill your vows to Him. Verse 28. You would now, see, because of 21 through 27... See, verse 21 through 27 is shaping your chooser. Yes. Did you catch that? Yep. Verse submitting to God, return unto Him, and God begins to shape your chooser. That's why it goes on down to say, now you will succeed in whatever you choose to do, and light will shine on the road ahead of you. How many know it's good when you're driving down the road? Night, it's rainy. Would you prefer to have your headlights out in front of you, or would you rather have your headlights behind you? Kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? It's like, I'd like to see where I'm going. When you do verse 21 through 27, light shines on the path ahead of you. It gives you light so you can see where you're going according to God's plan. Amen? Isn't that good? I'm going to read through this. I'm not going to preach as much. But I want to read this in the Amplified because it really just brings out some things. Listen to this. Acquaint yourself with Him, with God. In other words, agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to His will. And be at peace. By that, you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. Submitting to God brings great good into your life. It says you will prosper and great good shall come to you. Verse 22, receive, I pray you, the law and instruction from His mouth, God's mouth, and lay up His words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before Him, you will be built up. If you put away unrighteousness far from your tents. Right? Verse 24, if you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook. And now I'm going to give, this is going to explain what he means by if you lay, give away your, you let, you get rid of your gold. Considering them of little worth. In other words, he's not saying become poor. He's saying don't put your trust in your money. Don't put your trust in your gold and in your silver. Let Him be your gold and silver. In other words, put your trust in Him. So it's not saying give it all away, throw out your money, and just be poor, live in a cardboard box, you know, and that's going to make me happy. No, there is nowhere in the Bible that tells us to do that. That is religious thinking for poverty. That's another message. Okay, whole another series. So if you lay gold in the dust and store the Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering them of little worth, and make the Almighty God, make the Almighty your gold, and the Lord your precious silver treasure. In other words, you make Him of great worth, right? Then, here comes the then of favor. Then you will have delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face to God. Verse 27, you will make your prayer to Him, and He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. Listen to this in verse 28. And you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established. Everybody say established. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It will be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Amen. Isn't that good? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24 in the Amplified simply says this: grace, God's undeserved favor, be with you, be with all who love the Lord Jesus Christ. So that shows me that the favor of God is for a certain group of people. He didn't say grace be to you all and leave it there. He said grace, right? God's undeserved favor be with all who love the Lord. Anybody in here love Jesus? Come on, this is for you. Love the Lord Jesus with undying and incorruptible love. Amen. So let it be. Isn't that awesome? So the favor of God, I'm giving you verse after verse to help you know that the favor of God is there for you. It's there for us. Come on, let's seize this. Let's take possession of it in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9 in the New King James, just the latter part says, among the upright there is favor. Come on. If you're the righteousness of God, the Bible says that Jesus became sin so that we could become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you're the righteous, then favor is there for you. Amen. Among the upright, there is favor. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's go to there real quick. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm almost done here. We're getting there. Listen to this. Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham. So Abram, here he is. In verse 12, he's in verse 1, it says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. That word famous, or I will make you great, or I will make you famous, depending on what translation you're reading it in, that word means distinguished. It means famous or distinguished. In other words, people will know you because of what God is doing for you and what He is putting on your life. In other words, you'll be known for the favor of God. Your neighbors will be talking down the street. Hey, you know so-and-so? No, I'm not sure. No, you know that family down there, good stuff's always happening to them. Oh, yeah, that one there. That family. Yeah, they're always driving around with a smile on their face. You know, they're always driving around and hi, how are you doing? Every time you talk to them, I may not know their name, but every time I say something, oh, yeah, it was the favor of God. Oh, yeah, the favor of God people. Yeah. See, people, you will be known because of what God's putting on your life. They may not know your name, but they're going to know what God's doing in you. What God's doing for you, right? What God's doing through you. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. People will know you because of what God is doing in your life and what He's putting up on you. Amen? In the Amplified, I love this in the Amplified, verse 2 in the Amplified says this. It says, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. With abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, listen to this, dispensing good to others. So this is not just about you. I mean, no, it's never just about us. It's always about God saying, I will bless you so you can be a blessing to others. Amen. Because guess what? You are not the only one that is the object of God's affection. Amen. Every one of us is the object of God's affection. The sinner is the object of God's affection. But some people just need to see the goodness of God in somebody else's life to get their attention. So how about we say, that's me. I'm going to be the one that the favor of God flows through. They're going to see it. They're going to want to know how they can get it. Then I'm going to be able to tell them, come on, Jesus died on the cross for you. See, so it's about winning souls, isn't it? It's about doing good to others. It's about, I'm so blessed with favor. I'm so blessed that I can pay their power bill. Come on. That is absolutely right. We choose to declare these things. Oh, not, oh man, one day. No, I don't declare one day I'm going to be so blessed. No, I decree today I am so blessed I'm able to be a blessing. The Bible says, call things that do not exist as though they do. Amen. I love that though. He says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. You need to walk around every day. This is what I do. I walk around if I am highly favored of the Lord today. I am highly favored. My family is highly favored. Our church is a highly favored church. Glory to God. People love our church. We are highly favored of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is doing great things through the different church. Amen. Hallelujah. Why am I sharing this story with you about Abraham? Because that's Abraham and his covenant. That's Abraham. What does that got to do with me? It has everything to do with you. Look at this over in Genesis chapter 17. You got to understand this is not just for Abraham. This is for you. And I'm going to prove it to you. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7 says this. Oh, let me get over there. Where am I at? There it is. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. It says, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you. From generation to generation, this is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Come on, if you got children not walking with the Lord, you need to be declaring that right there. Now, Lord, you said you would always be my God and the God of my descendants after me. So, Lord, I decree and declare that my children are coming in serving God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How do I know this is really for me? Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. We're almost done. Galatians chapter 3. You guys getting anything out of this? Isn't this good? You are highly favored of God. You need to go around decreeing and declaring that I am favored of God. I walk it. I'm going to. Don't say I'm going to. Say I walk in the favor of God. I have the favor of God on my life today. Everywhere I go, it is a tremendous opportunity for favor. When you come into a situation and it seems difficult, hey, we do this walk driving through the parking lot looking for a parking spot. Last night we went to Elijah's concert, his competition, and we're driving around in Salem. We're like, oh my gosh, there is cars. This looks like a car lot, man. What is going on? And we just begin to say, this is a great opportunity. It's what I said. This is a great opportunity for the favor of God. And Heather goes, oh, look, there's a parking spot. And it wasn't too far away. It's like a block and a half. When cars were parked like 2 and 3 blocks away in the rain and cold. And we got a block and a half away. That's the favor of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, you guys are going to hear me say favor so much, you're going to be like, glory to God. I guess I'm favored too. Hallelujah. Oh, because we are highly favored. Amen. So it says that we have an everlasting covenant. All right, I told you Galatians 3, didn't I? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, but Christ. Now I'm going to show you this is absolutely for you. Watch this. You said, well, that was Abraham and his generation after generation. Watch this. But God has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles. They say, that's you and me, right? Say that's you and me. Come on. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. Any questions? Come on. Come on. Is that plain or what? He says, the same blessing is upon me that was on Abraham. Yes, come on. Oh, I'm not done. It gets better. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham so that for the purpose of we who are believers might receive the promise, the Holy Spirit, through faith. And I wrote up under that word, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the blessing. That we might see the same promise of the Holy Spirit of the blessing. Right? Because he's the Holy Spirit of the blessing. He was the same Holy Spirit that was back then with Abraham. Come on. I mean, he had not come in his fullness like he did at the day of Pentecost yet, but he was there. Amen. I don't know. The Holy Spirit was back in the Old Testament. Well, I don't know. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the water, so he was there. Right? Come on. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. All right, just in case you're not convinced, let's jump over to verse 29. Galatians 3, verse 29, it says, "And now that you belong to Christ," anybody in here belong to Christ? Yes. Giving your heart to the Lord? Say, "Lord, be the Jesus, be the Lord of my life." Come on, watch this. "And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham." Glory to God. So if I don't seal the deal for you, I don't know what will, but let's keep going. "You are his heirs." Come on. "And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." Hallelujah. What promise? That promise of favor. The promise of favor, right? Glory to God. I love that. I love that. Listen to this, and I'm going to give you one more scripture, and we're going to be done. This is something you need to get a hold of right here. This is something that I've learned. The more grateful you are for the favor of God, the more it shows up in your life. The more respectful you are to the favor of God. How did I say it? The more grateful you are for the favor of God, the more it shows up in your life. That's why I walk around every day, "Father, I thank you for the favor of God." Even in the midst of some tough times this past week, it's like, "Lord, I thank you for the favor of God. I thank you, Lord, that your favor is always working on my behalf. Father, I am highly favored of you. I am the apple of your eye. I am the object of your affection. God, I thank you that I am highly favored. Thank you for your favor working effectually for me in Jesus' name." Come on. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, the more you respect it, the more you are grateful for the favor of God, and I'll say the more you declare the favor of God, the more it shows up in your life. Amen. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Let's go back to Job chapter 22, verse 28 in the Amplified, and then I'm going to wrap it up with this. Job 22, verse 28. It's where we started, right? See, the plane was on the tarmac, and we took off on this journey, right? And we've been soaring around through some lot of good scriptures and a lot of good stuff, right? Now we're going to bring it right back to that same landing strip. Come on. Job 22, verse 28, and it says this. It says, "You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you." That word "established" means it shall become a common occurrence. When something is established, it's common. When a tree has been planted, maybe the first few days you can go pluck that thing up. But you let that thing sit there and get the root system, get established, and now you ain't just going to go. It's a common thing. First few days, you're like, "Oh, yeah, there's that tree. Oh, yeah, there's that tree." But after a while, it's like you're not even thinking about the tree because you know the tree. Why? Because it has become a common occurrence. And that's what it's saying here. It says, "You shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. It shall become a common occurrence for you." Did you hear what that said? I'm going to say that one more good time, right? "You shall decide you." Everybody take your finger and go, "That's me." Right here. "That's me." Right? You didn't say God. Didn't say PK. "I am declaring good things for you," but the power of it is when you decree, when you decide. And what does that mean, to decide? That means you're making a quality decision. You know what? I'm going to start declaring the favor of God, and ain't nothing going to stop me from doing that. So it says, "You shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall become common occurrence for you." What is not in your life that you want to see in your life? Healthy relationship, a good solid job, right? A good healthy lifestyle, a good health in your body. Come on, decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you. Come on, we need to start talking the favor of God. "You shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall become a common occurrence for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways." Isn't that good? Come on, did you guys get anything out of this? Wasn't that good? Hallelujah. Come on, let's start talking the favor of God. That's why I go around all week. I'm talking the favor of God, and I'm saying, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that our church is a church that encounters Jesus. Hallelujah. People come to our church, and they encounter Jesus. People that come across the path of our church people encounter Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we're going to get so full of Jesus, so full of the love of God, so full of the life of God, that people just out in the marketplace are going to run across and they're just going to encounter Jesus. You're going to say, hey, what's going on? So talking to him, you're going to say, hey, can I pray for you? And you're going to start praying for you. The power of God's going to fall and they're going to have an encounter with Jesus right there on aisle 7. Hallelujah. Just try not to let them dance too much and knock everything off the shelves. Come on. Come on. We're talking about having an encounter with God. And we're going to carry it to them. We can't expect everybody just to walk through these doors. We're going to go out and help them to have an encounter with Jesus. Right? But that's not going to happen until you have an encounter with Jesus. Right? So let's submit to God. Let's put ourselves back up under His mission. Return to the Almighty. Come on. Then we're going to have peace. The if and then of favor. Can you see what I'm saying? The if and then. Favor is not automatic. Nothing just happens. There has to be a cause and effect. There's decisions you have to make. You have to decide and decree, and then these things will be established and become common occurrence for you. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. That's all I got for today, but it was a lot of good stuff, so I hope you enjoyed it. I know it's going to help you if you put it to work in your life. Remember, put yourself up under God's mission, allow His favor, and start declaring His favor in your life, and God's going to do great things in your life. Amen? Amen. All right. God bless you guys.